You are listening to the Career Lounge podcast with Ada Ofonri, where we discuss how to define success on your own terms in order to create your dream career and business. All of the information from this podcast episode will be in the show notes, which can be found at thecareerlounge.com. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me today. I have a guest and I am so excited to welcome my guest, Elaysia Abate. She's an entrepreneur. She's a future forward strategist and creator of The Future of Now. She's partnered with so many organizations that range in size from early stage startups all the way to Fortune 500 companies. And her client roster includes the likes of PricewaterhouseCoopers, Verizon, University of Arizona, you name it. She's a sought after speaker and facilitator with a dynamic and engaging style. Some of her clients on that front include Deloitte, Stanford University, and the University of Chicago as well. She's worked as a global director for talent acquisition and as vice president of human resources at companies like Dow Jones and Company. And she's been featured in work with Tony Robbins and Trevor Noah, in addition to publications such as Forbes and Fast Company. So in today's episode, Elaysia and I are going to be talking about the future of work and what professionals can do to future-proof their careers. Because the reality is that what got us here isn't what's going to move us forward in our careers. So sit back, grab a cup of tea or coffee or water and enjoy.
So thank you so much for appearing on the Career Lounge podcast. I am so excited to have you on here. And I'm really excited to kind of get stuck in. I know that you have a wealth of knowledge that my listeners will absolutely love. So let's get cracking.
Let's go.
So first of all, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I am a Detroit native, born and raised in Detroit, and went to school in Chicago. I've been a global citizen basically ever since then. Lived in Spain, lived in Brazil, New York, LA, Chicago, DC, you name it. Clearly, I love traveling. And until 7 years ago, I had a more traditional, I'll say more traditional, but I had a more traditional sort of career path. And I had spent most of my career in some way, shape, or form recruiting, scouting, hiring, finding talent all over the world. I ran global recruiting for Anheuser-Busch InBev. I ran global recruiting for Dow Jones and the Wall Street Journal. And I left 7 years ago initially to solve for the problem of why so many people are unhappy at work. Because it turns out, I think you already know this, that most of the world, like 87% of people globally, is, I think they've changed it from disengaged and highly disengaged to some other language, but it's basically the same thing. Most people aren't happy at work. So I initially left to solve for that problem, created this whole strategy methodology to help people create fulfillment in their careers and to help companies create spaces where people wanted to be. And then I began to see all of these trends that had me wondering, as far as the future of work goes, what are we going to do with all the people? Mm-hmm. And so for the last 4 years, my life has been dedicated to creating scalable solutions to the question, how might we empower success in the face of great uncertainty?
Wow, that is a massive, massive question, right? How might we enable success? And why do you think so many people are unhappy in the work that they do based on your research?
Yeah, there are a few things that go into it. One is, of course, the schools that most of us have attended were created in an industrial age that were essentially we were formed, we were made to get shot out the other end and go fit into boxes inside of corporations, right? Since school was designed for us to avoid making mistakes, not to learn. Because in learning, inherently, there is the magic of you've got to make mistakes in order to figure things out. You've got to tinker, you've got to move. But fundamentally, I think more than anything else, it's an error in strategy. The way that most of us are taught to think about our careers is what I refer to as a building block or a ladder model of career. It's an incremental way of thinking. We go to school, we study something, and then it's time for us to graduate. And this can be high school, trade school, university of some kind. Doesn't matter how much school, same thing, right? You leave school, you scan the market, and you say, okay, what can I logically do with the things that I know? And you find an opportunity and you lock in and you do it. And then you amass a few years of skills and experience and you scan the market again and say, what can I do with what I have? But the problem with this strategy is that if you were like I was, and early on in your career, either didn't know exactly what you wanted or what you thought you wanted didn't have anything to do with who you are, then all this strategy does is create stacks, bad decisions on top of bad decisions on top of bad decisions. Whereas if instead you take a different strategy, which is a planting your flag kind of a strategy, which leads to a mosaic career, you take a few steps back and you ask yourself things like, what do I want to create? What kind of impact do I want to have? How do I want to use my life? And then you align your skills, resources, talents, creativity behind creating that thing, even if you can't specifically name it.
Wow, that's incredible. Because what I basically hear you saying is the difference between picking up a bunch of skills and knowledge at school and trying to fit into a box as opposed to self-discovery, right? And building a career based on that.
Yes. Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. And you know, when we think about how we get from A to B, so how do we get out of this ladder model and over into the mosaic model? It's a three-part framework. It's committing to creating that new or that more fulfilling destination for yourself. It's doing the work of creating it, and then it's contributing, meaning you help other people along the way shorten their journey. And the first step in actually creating a switch for yourself is self-knowledge and understanding. You've got to have a clear idea of who you are, what you're up to, what's interesting to you, what's not interesting to you, and take it from there.
And so if someone is currently in a career that they've built up based on the standard model, which we still have now, right, of education and then going into a profession, how can they transition into the sort of new way of working that you describe?
Yeah, well, the beautiful thing is there are infinite ways to transition. And the way that I did it is, you know, I chose to leave the corporate world and then figure it out. I'm a very risk tolerant person, so I wouldn't necessarily recommend that strategy for most people. But there are ways for you to, within the organization where you are, begin to explore new areas, take on new projects. There are ways for you to start a side hustle and wait until the income from that begins to squeeze out your full-time income, and then you make a transition. So there are plenty of ways to tactically make that happen. And I think it really comes down to what are you comfortable with and what are you creating? I mean, it always comes down to what are you really looking to create? And then you find the best strategy to get yourself there the fastest.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that I find as an executive coach with my clients is that a lot of people feel stuck in their careers, right? They feel stuck. They haven't quite figured out what the next move for them is, but they absolutely detest their current position. But they stay where they are because they haven't quite figured out what the next thing is. So can you talk a little bit about that? What is it that keeps people stuck, and how can they become unstuck?
Yes. So I love that you said that, because so first of all, if you're feeling stuck, you're in great and numbered company. So you aren't alone, because most of us, again, we're taught to think about our careers in this ladder model, which is what do we logically do with what we already know? Mm-hmm. If you're feeling stuck, all that does is get you more stuck.
Right.
Kind of move forward. And so that part's okay. Right? No big deal. But here's the scoop. If you can sit down, and when I teach a lot of classes, I teach this class at Stanford and Toronto and in other places online, where if you can design out your most amazing life. So imagine this, the most amazing life you can come up with, the money and the impact and the people and the connections and the blood, like all the things, right? The family, all the good stuff. And then you say, okay, you compare that to your default future. You design out you change zero things about your life, and 35 years down the road, you've kicked the can, some future's going to unfold. Well, the research tells us that human beings over time generally tend to become happier. Fine. But if our most amazing life is exponentially happier than our default future, then why do all of us stay stuck? And the reason why is because of all of the assumptions that we have about what is or isn't true, what is or isn't possible. So as an example, okay, you design out this most amazing life and money and billions and, you know, jet setting and whatever this most amazing life means to you. And why can't you get it? I'm too young. I'm too old. I don't have enough experience. I don't know the right people. I don't have access to capital, and on and on and on and on. And all of a sudden that pile of stuff seems so insurmountable. Mm-hmm. It's just easier to stay where we are. So mm-hmm. we stick with what we know and figure we can just suck it up and hold out until, you know, we retire and then, right? But the beautiful thing is that with assumptions, best case scenario, they're simply untrue. Straight up, they are untrue. Or worst case scenario, they're parameters that you need to use to make your next decision. Mm-hmm. And the financial parameter, and I'm sure as you are doing executive coaching, you hear this a lot. I could never leave my job because of the rent, the mortgage, my kids' school, my, you know, whatever. But here's the deal. Here's what I ask people. Okay, whatever job you might be having, let's use for argument's sake that somebody's making $75,000 or euros or, you know, whatever. Okay, 75,000. Great. Is your job the only job on the entire planet that makes $75,000 or more?
Right. No.
So that's not a reason not to move. It's simply a baseline parameter for you to say, I will not make a switch for less than X amount of money so that I can ensure that the things that I need for my life are taken care of.
No, it's true, because a big one that comes up for a lot of people is around having responsibilities. You know, they have kids in private school, or they have a mortgage, you know, all sorts of things. And so they haven't got time, or, you know, or it's not the right time for them to look at something else, right?
Yeah.
And but you know, I like you said, it's a question of understanding the difference between universal truths and assumptions that people make.
Absolutely. And my work is largely inspired by Joseph Campbell. And one of the things he says is that people are not so much looking for the meaning of life as they are looking for the experience of being alive. Mm-hmm. And if you can wake up every day and look in the mirror and say, okay, whatever I'm going to do or whatever I'm sitting in my house and doing is, it gives me that, right? Like, I feel alive in exercising this. Amazing. But if the answer to that is no, then what are you waiting for?
Yeah, 100%. Agreed. So what are some of the sort of future careers that people might be able to consider? Because I know that, again, a lot of people I come across have gone down traditional career paths, right? Mm-hmm. So what might they start looking at if they're not aware of potential options that might be available to them?
Yeah, so I think there are a couple of frames that I'd like to bring to this before we get into is like what's the actual job. I think first and foremost, you never have to have done anything in order to do something. Now, unless you are a medical doctor or an attorney or something that requires that you have a certificate or a license for you to legally practice, you never have to have done anything in order to do something.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's like. Okay. When I say, I mean, I've been living it for, you know, since I graduated from school, but whenever I say it, it just gives me like breathing. Oh, really? Mm. There's so much more possible out here. Oh, great.
Yeah.
And okay, so that's the first thing. And then the second thing, rather than thinking about a specific job, like what's the activity that I will do? I think there's a framework that can help people understand how to future-proof their careers to help them create, because the recipe is becoming nimble. It's not staying in only one track, one area of focus, one thing, because if it gets automated or if the pandemic extends for a certain amount of time and we can't go back to work, but that's the only thing we think we can do, then we're stuck. So there's a three-part framework. The first part is mindset. More than what am I thinking about things, it's how am I utilizing my brain to solve the problems that are here. And the fundamental distinction there is between, am I a captive to my circumstances, meaning why is this happening to me, versus am I a captain of my destiny? Given that I'm here, what do I want to create? Because if our jobs all of a sudden get taken away, like mine did, I had two layoffs early on in my career in quick succession. If it gets taken away, it doesn't feel good.
No.
Just sit around and say, this feels horrible, then nothing happens, right? So the mindset piece. Secondly, education. More importantly, under education, it's being aware of what industries are in ascension and in decline, what industries run risk and have opportunity of being impacted positively and negatively by technology. So are you positioning yourself in a space that's dying tomorrow? Or are you in a space that's going to have growth? And then thirdly, entrepreneurship. The past of work was salaried. The future of work is entrepreneurial. And that can be whether you are creating a scalable business, whether you are a solopreneur or a micropreneur, whether you are working for a more traditional company that now is demanding that you have skills that are much more entrepreneurial. Mm-hmm. And so if you can get that nimbleness into your brain, that will help you. And then thirdly, collaboration. Understanding that we're not going to create value, impact, opportunities for ourselves and others if we are doing it in a silo by ourselves. We've got to be able to create community. Mm-hmm. So those three things, mindset, education, collaboration. And in the face of great disruption, those three things are enough of a framework to begin to bring you the answers that you need in order to create whatever you are wanting to as your next steps.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, under the sort of education umbrella, you talked a little bit about the fact that the future of the world is entrepreneurial. Yes. And then you spoke about solopreneurship versus micropreneurship. So can you elaborate a little bit on what those are and what the differences are?
Sure. So, I mean, as a solopreneur, and by the way, there's all kinds of language for this. So a solopreneur, micropreneur, independent contractor. In the United States, we have, you know, 1099 for, so if somebody who's an individual, you know, we can, so a gig economy worker, right? We can, whatever hat we choose to wear. It really is, what this is, whether we realize it or not, is actually a massive wave of shift away from traditional work and into this kind of contract work. But a solopreneur is, you know, it's one person doing whatever it is that they're doing and they're up to. You know, a micropreneur can sometimes be like a small mom and pop soda stand on the corner or a little, you know, I used to live in Washington Heights in New York. So like the, how do they call them? Popsicles, like the little popsicles on the corner, right? Like a micropreneur. So, you know, and that's somebody who's not creating a massively scalable business, but is still an entrepreneur, has a small business, has to understand cash flow ins and outs and those kinds of things. And so the beauty of this is that you can design it any way you want to. Mm-hmm. And the knowledge that you need to do this is accessible to you. Welcome to the age of internet.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, speaking of the internet and technology, so what sort of impact do you think that's going to basically have on the workplace moving forward? We've already seen the amazing impact technology has had on the way that we work. And this has actually been significantly emphasized during this time of the pandemic. So what do you kind of see in the future?
Yeah, I will say that I see in the future, and I will make the caveat that it's actually already here. It's already happening right
now. Okay, okay.
So while we say future, it's just as simply different than what was before. We're in this interim time. What we will see an increased impact of technology and work in our working world, which has been accelerated thanks to the pandemic, both in terms of things like remote work and, you know, massive companies who thought, oh, we would never do this. All of a sudden, you know, they're able to have all of their workers working from home very quickly. But also the trend toward robotization in spaces, particularly for low-skilled jobs, service robots, cleaning robots, medical robots. These are things you know, that we're going to be seeing massively ramp up in the next 2 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see these things move very quickly. So the impact of technologies and jobs in our working world. And then secondly, as we think about technology and its impact, in addition to that massive trend toward freelance work, when the planet has ubiquitous internet, so we're not so far away from that, what happens when 3.5 billion people who have never had access to the internet and the educational and entrepreneurial opportunities that it provides come online? That's where it gets really exciting. So it's a shift, and it's going to mean opportunity. It's going to mean access to a global market for people who have never had access, connection, opportunity in the past. And you might say, oh, but there are people in these communities who are illiterate or they don't speak the major languages that are here. Thanks to the technology that's in our phones, we have instantaneous translation.
That's true.
So these things that were barriers before, all of a sudden they dissolve and we get to build this global community. And you know, I think the great opportunity in that is that people who have traditionally been left behind get to come forward with everybody together. We don't need to leave anybody in the dust.
I mean, it's a really good point, isn't it? Because in the Western world, you're so accustomed to using the internet, but the reality is that there's still a lot of the world to get on the internet, right? And so that does mean a lot of opportunity, absolutely, in the future when people do that.
Yes, and how exciting that is.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And there have been, you know, communities in traditionally more rural or isolated areas that when a cell phone tower comes in, communities who are willing to move away from a water source in order to get closer to Wi-Fi. So the challenges and opportunities that it presents are, they're not insignificant. However, again, and we're in this interrupted interregnum time right now, since all the rules are being rewritten.
Yeah, as we speak.
Yeah, as we speak. Absolutely.
So if someone is looking to future-proof their careers, and I know you touched upon this before, what are some of the things that they can begin to do now?
Yes. So first and foremost, I'll just go back to that understanding that mindset education collaboration framework will be, you know, if you're looking for like, oh, what do I do? Everything's crazy. Anchor in that, because that will give you enough steps, things to think about, and ways to get your thinking sort of out of its cortisol, you know, out of like your fear response and into actual action. So that's the first thing. The second thing that I would do is really train myself in resilience, because the disruptions that we have seen right now, I say that the pandemic came like a lightning bolt, but it didn't stop the tsunami of change that's right here and around the corner. So we're going to continue to see great disruption. So by practicing resilience, you will be able to better, more easily handle what's here and what's happening. But then next, look at what's growing. So first, what do you want to create? So going back to that mosaic career, taking that few steps back, what do I want to create? What kind of impact do I want to have? What challenges do I see happening in the world? And what am I uniquely capable of doing to solve them or to be a participant in solving them? Secondly, have a look at where the world is going, right? And it's, for most of us, it's not going to be, I only know physics. You know, it's going to be, I know physics and philosophy. I can do systems thinking and help previously separate ideas meld together to help people thrive moving forward. If you're a left brain kind of a person, of course, programming, STEM, you know, understanding artificial intelligence, the ins and outs of it, being able to program artificial intelligence. But if you're a right brain person and thinking, oh my God, the world is all going technology, I'm toast. You know, what do I get to do?
Right.
Look at how much change is happening. Our brains were literally not evolved to handle this much change and disruption. So helping people make this bridge from what was to what's coming, helping people learn how to be okay with the change that's here. You know, I often think of, there's a television show in the US, it's called Billions. And
I love that show.
Yeah, it's great, right? Mm-hmm. And then the Wendy Rhodes character, who's like essentially like the corporate psychologist for like that figure is, and by the way, if you're a chief HR officer listening to this, if you don't have someone like that in your organization, besides a future of work specialist or, you know, director who could help you think through some of these challenges, that's your number two thing, person who you would want to invite into your organization.
Mm-hmm. So they were ahead of their time, right? In Billions and having a work psychologist left with all the traders.
Yeah, there's, I have a friend and colleague in Detroit. His name is Hodge Flemings. He's an entrepreneur and doing really cool work with his organization, Rebrand Cities, working in Detroit, Los Angeles, Miami. And, you know, he talks about this notion that entrepreneurs are the new athletes. You know, so how we think, maximizing our energy, how we train for, you know, work in our working world. It's a different way of thinking about it. And for me, brings a lot of hope, a lot of camaraderie, and a lot more access to entrepreneurship for more people.
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree. Since I've been on this journey, the people that I've met, but the way in which people have leveraged their skills and the services they're offering, it just blows my mind when I see what people are in business for. Yeah. It's amazing. Things you would never think of. Every single thing under the sun.
Every single thing under the sun. And that's the magic of the disruption that we're in, because the disruption that we're in can feel terrifying. I traffic in uncertainty. I've been working in this and with this, and so it's something that I have become comfortable with. And I've had to learn that not everybody is that comfortable with it yet. So it's like, okay, this is why I share frameworks and strategies. Like, I did all the crazy stuff. You know, we can help other people think about it. But inside of the disruption, disruption is simply opportunity that looks different than the things that we're used to.
I love that.
And so, okay, there's going to be problems that we can solve. If people all of a sudden are scared of this, all of your consumers or clients or they have brand new unmet needs that you haven't addressed yet. So it's full of opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. So where can people find you?
Yes. People can find me on my website, elaishaabate.com. People can find me, follow me on LinkedIn, where I'm always posting something. I'm doing lives all the time. Instagram, all Elaisha Abate. You can find me there.
Okay, awesome. And I'll put that in the show notes as well so that people also know where to find you. Well, thank you. This has been awesome. I've definitely read some of your stuff and I've followed your work. And so happy to have you on here on the Career Lounge podcast. And I think it'll give a lot of people food for thought as well, who are sort of trying to figure out what's next for them. In terms of understanding that there needs to basically be a paradigm shift, because the world that we're in right now is very different to the world that we grew up in.
Yes, and inside of that, there's more opportunity than we ever could have imagined.
And that's what's exciting. It's exciting.
Yeah, it can be exciting. It can be exciting because it really means more for everybody in every action, every step that we're taking.
Brilliant. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you so much. And I'm so happy that you came on, and I'll definitely put everything down in the show notes. And guys, definitely follow Elaisha on LinkedIn so that you can follow her lives and learn more about the future of work and get some ideas about strategies for your career as well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Any last words?
Yeah. I'll go back to Joseph Campbell. He says, we must be willing to get rid of the life that we have planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us. And that life that's waiting for us is going to be a big adventure.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Don't forget to subscribe, download, and leave a review. To continue the conversation, please join us at the Career Lounge Facebook group.